Good morning. And how are you? Today, as we listen to the readings this past week, as I was reflecting on Advent about how much easier it is for me to do my morning tweets and the various things that I put out, it's because Advent is a time of hope. That's all it is. It's a lot of hope. And I think that it reminds us more than anything is that we need to be people of hope. You know, hope is that assurance that the future is in God's hands and that He will take care of us. It's the knowing that no matter how bad it happens to look, God's still in charge and everything's going to be okay. That's what we believe, huh? And when you look at the readings, I think the readings can help us to make sure that we're hopeful in three different things. In our country or our countries, wherever people are who are listening to us, in our church, and in our personal lives, okay? So we go to the gospel, and it talks about very much putting the context about who is in charge. You know, Herod's there, Pilate's there, all these people are there, and it makes sure. Now, people could, if you're a Christian, could think, well, this isn't good. Look who happens to be in charge right now. And they don't like us. And yet, in the midst of that, the prophet speaks hope, right? He's speaking salvation in the midst of all the stuff that we're not very happy with us or the Jews. Speak hope into it. Now we got to do something to get that hope, and I'm going to talk about that with our repentance, but we still need to be people, and everybody else is cursing, and everybody else is bemoaning how bad it is, and everybody else is seeing all the garbage. We must be the people that speak hope. That's who we are. That's what we're about. If we're not people of hope, then being here is no purpose, right? Because hope, the reason we're here is that after we're dead, that God's going to give us eternal life. Is that hope? Yes, so we need to be people that bring this hope into our everyday lives. So it doesn't really matter who happens to be in charge of the country, no matter when. God is still big. Again, as I've talked to you 1,000 times about, in Rome, they were killing us in Rome. Is that true? And yes, they don't exist anymore. The Roman emperors are gone. The Church of Jesus Christ sits on top of that place where they killed us. Hope always wins. It just does. The second thing, of course, is when you go to the first reading talks about the reality of Israel and how God's going to lead them with joy and He's going to lead them and take care of them. That in the midst of the darkness that Israel was in, again the prophet Baruch promised and spoke hope to the community. And again, where we are, do we speak hope to our families? To our community, to our church? Or do we just sit there and join everybody else with how bad things are? That doesn't help, does it? When we focus on what's always bad, nothing happens good. But if we sit there and focus on what's good and we focus on hope, and then we do things to make hope into reality, that means we got to be forward thinking and forward looking, not backward thinking and backward looking. There's nothing we can do about the past, but boy, there's a lot we can do about the future. And so in the church, there we got to be forward looking and bringing hope. In the country, we got to be forward looking and bringing forward hope. And in our personal lives, we got to be forward looking and bringing hope. And the way it happens personally, here's what Paul, sometimes he wasn't always the nicest of people. I don't know if you ever read any of Paul when he talks about circumcision and knife slipping and all that kind of stuff, which we won't go into right now. But here he says, I pray always with joy. I'm always filled with joy in every prayer for you. So no matter how sinful the community was, he was praying for them with joy. And then he has this one strong sense of hope. I am confident of this, that the one who began the good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. You and I got to remember that God created us for a purpose. And when we surrender ourselves to his purpose, then God will fulfill his purpose in your life. So you got to remember a couple things. One is God's not done with you yet. That should give you some hope. God's not done with you yet. He's not done with me. You should really have hope. That the reality is that God's still working on us. And God still has a plan for us. And God created us for this plan and for this reality. And we need to be hopeful-filled. We can't be people that just get, you know, down on our sinfulness and down on our weaknesses and down on how bad things are in our own life. We need to bring hope, to let God bring hope into our personal lives, that we're not done yet. God has a plan. And we trust that plan. We trust his will in our life, that God loves me more than I love me. And he's going to make all things okay. But you and I got to do something. When John the Baptist is coming and proclaiming repentance, you know, some people make John the Baptist an ogre, but he was preaching repentance for salvation. He was preaching hope. He says, you repent of your sins. Don't let your sins define you. Let God define you. Stop focusing on yourself and your sinfulness. Repent. Get rid of them. Say no to them. And focus now on God. And focus on his salvation. That this is what the call for all of us is. Not focus on ourselves. Not focus on the mess. But focus on God and his plan. That each of us can have great hope because God's in charge and he's love and he will take care of us. That's what we believe. So when you're going crazy throughout any of those things, just say one thing. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I hope in you. Jesus, I hope in you. And that statement of faith and hope will bring about hope in your own heart. I promise. May you know his love today and forever. Amen.